Chicago's home for sports.
Let me introduce myself.
Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co and ESPN _ Chicago.
We have a proposal from the baseball owners that the baseball players are going to absolutely reject. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But was it progress? Did they actually make some progress yesterday when MLB, who upset the players' union with an economic proposal that is putting massive cuts on the best players in the game, but much, much smaller cuts on 65% of the rank and file, with the thought, divide and conquer. If you get the majority to sign off on it, like you did in the NFL, do you A, break the union, or B, do you get a deal done simply because a guy making the league minimum who's going to take a much smaller percentage cut than a guy like Gerrit Cole or Mike Trout or John Lester or Yu Darvish or Anthony Rizzo or any of these highly paid guys, does it help get a deal done? The quote from the Players Association was, "The proposal involves massive additional pay cuts and the union is extremely disappointed. We're also far apart on health and safety protocols. The union is expected to reject the plan and counter in the coming days with a proposal that could include a longer season." And a pretty good source told me last night they expect they got to get a deal done by June 10. June 10 to have a return to play by July 4. Now, the league proposal has bonuses if postseason games are played. That means everybody stays healthy and we don't have interruptions. Lower salaried players a higher percentage of their expected wages and would give some of the game's biggest stars a fractional cut of their salaries. For the formula the league offered, for example, would take a player schedule and make the league minimum. And this year that's 563. Give them a prorated number based on 82 games and then take a 10% cut from that figure, leaving him with a $256,000 salary. The scale goes down as salaries go up with every dollar. So if you're making more than $1 million, you all of a sudden are going to only get 50% of your money. If you're $5 million to 10, 40% of your money. 10 million to 20, 30% of your money. And 20 million and up, you're getting 20% of your money. So a guy like Mike Trout makes $37 million. Would get his salary of just $5,700,000. Trout could make upward of $2.5 million more under the proposal if the league completes the World Series. So people keep saying, are you on the owner's side? Are you on the player's side? I'm on nobody's side. Figure it out. You got billionaires, you got millionaires. Now, the union has gotten to their rank and file and told them to, quote unquote, as somebody said to me last night, shut your damn mouths. Don't go on social media. Don't do any interviews about it. Just shut your mouth and let us get a deal done. But then you have the owner of the Oakland A's decide, I can't pay the minor leaguers their stipend. They get $400 a week. $400. That's what each minor leaguer in the A's system gets. And that's typical throughout baseball. They are not going to pay them any further, and they're going to furlough a bunch of their employees. Oh, by the way, the owner of the Oakland A's, he's worth $2 billion. So every time there's a Blake Snell making a dumb comment or somebody else, I think Bryce Harper said, I support Blake Snell, dumb. Now they're being muzzled and they're not saying anything. And then you've got a $2 billion owner of a team that won't spend, as Jeff Passan put it this morning, we're talking about just to pay those minor leaguers for the season, $1 million. That's walking around money for a guy worth $2 billion. You take your checkbook out and you write, here's $1 million, pay those guys. And the furlough of employees making $40,000 to $75,000, we're not going to pay them any longer? Come on, man, you're worth $2 billion. You know, if they were doing certain things like that that engendered goodwill, you might be more willing to cut them a break on other things. They're going to get crushed. There are going to be zero fans at any game this year. It's just not going to happen. So I get it. They're going to get destroyed financially. I just don't understand how they can't get this deal done. And I personally believe if they don't get a deal done because of finances, not because of health concerns, because of finances, then they reap what they sow. They will have done irreparable harm to the sport. This is not like 94 when we had a strike. It's not. People went about their lives and whatever. We got 35 million people without jobs, existing on unemployment and stimulus checks and food banks and hoping to stay healthy. It just makes me sick if they can't get baseball back. Hockey, we're back. Now, again, they got most of their money. Basketball, that's a done deal. They're coming back. They're going to play at Disney World at the ABC Y World of Sports Complex. It'll be locked down, and they'll have testing, and they're going to play. Football is working towards that. They're going to get their coaches back in the building. So you're going to have some really good things going on in the sports world. And if baseball can't get their you-know-what together, no sympathy on this from this guy. Shame on them. Both sides. This is on both sides. Players have to be willing to compromise, and owners have to be willing to understand, hey, man, we'll compromise with you, but it's got to be something reasonable. Reasonable. So I was very, very disappointed to hear, you know, certain things that lower-level employees are just going to be kicked to the curb. See you later. Thanks. Appreciate you. Let you know if we start playing again. That stuff bothers me. I understand the big guys having to take cuts. I do. Still going to make a good, significant amount of money. And the rest of that money should be deferred. However many years that is, let them figure it out. So we're in a bad spot with baseball, but we're getting hockey and basketball back, and that is a good thing. And baseball will have squandered an amazing opportunity. And I don't think any of you out there will have any sympathy for them. Will you miss the games? Yeah, probably. If you're a Cubs or White Sox fan in this market, yes. You're going to miss watching your team play. But it's they're not going to engender a lot of goodwill from the fan base.
So, Cap, let me ask you this question. Say things do not work out where baseball comes back to play this summer.
Mm-hmm.
What will we look at this as? Will we look back and say, ah, the pandemic hit, baseball just couldn't get together, they didn't play that year, and then in the future we look back and we completely blame it 100% on COVID-19? Or are we going to look back at this situation and say, hockey, the NBA, college football, the NFL, all found a way to get something accomplished?
Soccer.
Throughout the pandemic, mm-hmm. A terrible time for all of us,
mm-hmm.
But the sports gave us some hope, and we got to enjoy something that we all like to follow and to watch and to make life feel a little bit normal, and baseball is the one that didn't get it done because they argued over money. Is that the way we're going to view this in the long term? Is that if they don't accomplish this to come back and play, are we going to blame it on COVID-19, or are we going to blame it on, once again, the tired old story of the owners and the players not getting along in Major League Baseball?
It's going to be the latter. For me, it is. Now, again, if they announced today, hey, man, the doctors are telling us we can't do this. Okay. I get it. Like I said yesterday, you, me, and Danny made a decision that we're going to go to work every day, and we come down here. Now, we stay socially distanced. We spend 10 minutes. You guys are in one room, 10 feet apart. I'm behind glass in another room, and we're spraying this stuff, Pledge Clean It Antibacterial Multi-Surface Cleaner. 99.9% effective against whatever. and we spray it everywhere, and we wipe everything down, and I wash my hands every break. But we made a decision to go to work because we have to. We could stay home, but guess what? I got to feed my family. I've got bills to pay, just like everybody else out there. If MLB can't get this done because of finances, fans should not cut them a break ever. Don't forget, there's 35 million of our brethren, men and women, who don't have a job today. And you can't find a way to get your you-know-what together? Sad.
Well, and it's going to be, you're going to look at it in the long term. It will be about finances, because even this morning in the New York Times, the president of Notre Dame wrote an op-ed piece about why Notre Dame is going to open in the fall. So, like, if a university thinks that they, and in it says, informed by the best medical advice we can find, we believe we can keep our campus environment healthy. So if you can keep an entire campus of students coming from all around the country safe, and they have a plan in place to accomplish that, yet Major League Baseball, with all the money they have, can't figure out a way to keep their players safe. Like, that's an indictment on the sport, because they just don't want to get it done. They want to argue about the money side of it and not because of the health issues. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there are going to be points in life where there are ways to get things accomplished in a safe manner. And no one's 100% guaranteed protected from getting COVID-19 until we have a vaccine. But there are ways to take measures to try and keep people safe.
Correct.
So baseball can't lean on the idea, or the players can't lean on the idea, is, well, we don't feel safe. Well, you know, if full universities are opening up their campuses and they feel like they have a grasp on at least a way to try and keep people safe, it doesn't really hold true when, you know, the sport itself could place protocol in actually test the players multiple times to know who has it, who doesn't have it, to remove those players from everyone else. Like, to me, it's it will 100%, when we look back, it will be blamed on, once again, labor dispute, players and owners. Once again, a same tired story from baseball.
So the question needs to be asked then, do you at home, working, not working, whatever you're doing, do you sit at home and consider yourself a baseball fan? I love baseball. I'll watch any game anytime. Do you sit at home and go, you know what? Screw those people. I'll find something else to occupy my time, and I'll move on to other things. I got bigger fish to fry. I'm trying to get my life back. I'm trying to get my job back. I'm trying to make sure my kids stay healthy and my husband or my wife. You know what? If the players and the owners end up not getting a deal done, and I'll be consistent, they will play. They will come to their senses, and they will get a deal done. If they don't, they deserve everything that comes their way, because they will do irreparable damage to their sport. I choose to believe that they're not that stupid, and they'll get it done. 312-332-3776. Jesse Rogers, who's been front and center breaking news on this with the latest on MLB's proposal. Jesse joins us next.
This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So, they put the proposal on the table, and not a shock, the players went, no, not interested. But they'll come back with their own proposal. I still believe that they'll get something done. I do. I choose to have a positive outlook, and I'll be very surprised if they do not get a deal done to get this baseball season done. Back. It's got to happen. It absolutely has to happen. Baseball will do irreparable harm. People will move on. I'm just telling you. And Jesse Rogers has been front and center, doing a great job breaking stories, having sources. Jesse, good morning, my man. How are you?
Good, Cap. Good morning to you, my friend.
Excellent work, Jesse. Excellent
Thank
work.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been interesting. It's been an interesting process. And, you know, I think a lot of it is just negotiation. And it's not something I'm used to. It's not like something I cover every day. My point being, I think the owners are just playing a big game of negotiation here, right? They leaked the revenue sharing thing, yet they never propose it, right?
Right.
Because now it looks like, oh, they came off of revenue sharing. So they are willing to negotiate, but then they advance this plan, which somewhat could divide the union, right? And they look better than they do on the revenue sharing, but yet not the way that the players want this thing to go down. So now the players are going to counter. I am with you. This is a negotiation. They will get there. There's several different paths to do that. But this one sounded bad from the start. Although, I mean, and here's the other thing. In terms of the court of public opinion, Cap, you know, I have the chart right in front of me. Everything that a player would make now as opposed to what he was going to make. The lowest amount is $262,000. You know how many people listening would do whatever they needed to make $262,000?
Yeah.
That's the problem. Everything about the players is public. We don't know, again, exactly what the owners are, what kind of cut they're going to get. Now, we know they're going to get cut, obviously, without fans and 82 games, but we don't have it in front of us what Tom Ricketts is going to make this year compared to a full season, right? We don't know that, but we know everything exactly that the players are going to make. I have the chart right in front of me. Every single price point, I can tell you what they would make with the postseason bonus, without the postseason bonus, in case the playoffs are canceled. We don't know what kind of cut the owners are taking. I'm talking about in their pockets, not the team or the organization. We don't know that either. So this is a game of negotiation. And right now, the owners seem to have the upper hand because everything, you know, is public in terms of what the players' salaries are.
So, Jesse, I was told by somebody, again, I can't reveal my source, but it's a really good source, that the Cubs, absolutely 100% it's accurate, that they will lose 70% of their revenue comes from the game day experience, tickets and parking and hotel and concessions and bars and rooftops and all that goes into that. And they don't have a deal done yet. I still think they will on Xfinity. I think they'll get a deal done. I'll be surprised if they don't. So that will help them. But they are not going to make $1 more on Marquee for at least the next couple years and maybe a little bit longer. But the long play, they think, is going to be much better. But that the Cubs are at the top end on the MLB scale of how much their percentage of revenue is tied to the game day experience. Do you believe it?
I do believe they're at the top of the scale. I don't feel sorry for them, but I do believe it. Yes, right now I believe it for a lot of different reasons. I don't disagree with that notion. It doesn't make me feel sorry for them or think the player should take on the losses of the owner or anything like that. I would believe that they're near the top, sure, and they're gonna realize the benefits of all this years down the road. But again, the pandemic wasn't years down the road. The pandemic was now, and I don't think that those losses should go on the players necessarily. We've argued about this before. But the thing is, in discussing this now, we see there's been advancement. No revenue sharing. Now we're at this point. So let's move it forward, Cap. I think the two answers, I've always thought deferments would be one, but there's probably some red tape there as well. Maybe not every player wants to be paid 2 years from now. So the other answer, and this is the proposal they're going to get, that I think the players are going to increase the amount of games played this year. I think they're going to try to get to 100 so they can be paid more, because, you know, the owners can get paid more because there'd be more games on TV, more revenue coming from that. So if the compromise might come in games played, league is saying 82, players are going to say close to 100, which is going to put a strain on them and the game itself. I like the 82 because we might see some good baseball. We get to 100 in the same amount of time, unless they go deep into October for the regular season, we're going to see some sloppy baseball. So I prefer deferments, but they're not deferring my money. Their answer is going to be more games played.
Okay, so let's assume that, and I've heard the same thing, that the players are saying, no, we want to play more games. And I also heard that the players thought the MLB proposal from a safety and health perspective was too onerous. They wanted to relax some of it. Why I don't understand. But if they want to get 100 games in, Jesse, time is wasted, man. It's going to be June this weekend. When are they? What's the deadline here?
It's a made up deadline. I mean, everybody assumes it's June 1st. They've got to get everybody into their cities and start going. You're right. But I still think 100 games, 90 games, they're going to go with that July 4th startup right around then. And if they have to go into October, they'll go into October. They are definitely worried about a second wave, though, shutting things down. That's why they didn't initially offer up 100 games. But you see what's going on here. The players know that their salary is really tied to the regular season. There are bonuses in this graph if there is a postseason played. And it's not a bad bonus. If you made $10 million last year, or if you're making $10 million this year, your bonus is $500,000 if there's a playoff. But it's still only a small portion of their salary. So the players care about getting the regular season in. The owners care about getting the postseason in, because that's where the TV revenue really skyrockets. But you're right. Time is of the essence, especially if you're going to play in home stadiums and not neutral sites come late October, early November.
Yeah, this has to get figured. So do you think there is a drop-dead date?
I mean, I think internally there probably is, but I think it might be a I'm sort of contradicting myself. I don't know. I'm going to say no. I think it's a moving target. I think June 1st, because look, they're going to give about a week to 10 days to get everybody in their cities, right? But if they need to shorten that to 4 or 5 days, I think they can. I think players understand they need to be ready to move. So if this negotiation goes to June 5th, they can still start spring training on June 10th. But I think they're hoping to make it June 1st to give everybody ample time. So I guess externally, I haven't heard anything about a drop-dead date. Maybe internally there is, but I imagine it's a moving target here because, look, they can move the regular season deeper into October and just cross your fingers there's not a second outbreak and we're shut down.
Talking to Jesse Rogers here on ESPN 1000, do you believe this is the precursor to a salary cap, as the union alleges, or do you believe this is just a pandemic situation, right? And within, as soon as we get fans back, that may not be till we get a vaccine, but by 2022 we'll go back to more of a traditional model.
This is where I don't necessarily agree with the union. You know, I think they're really paranoid, and I think they, and look, we know that big corporations, big companies, big, you know, sports leagues might take advantage of a crisis. That's not above and beyond the realm of possibility, right? But in this case, I think they got a little more paranoid than you thought. Now, if this was – I've said this to maybe you or someone else on the air. If this was the first year of a 10-year CBA, I'd really be disappointed in the players if they didn't understand this was a one-off. But I think with the CBA negotiation looming, it ends after next season, you know, the current CBA, I think they're really paranoid about anything that they give in to right now. So I think they do believe if they give in, this will just carry over to the next CBA. I think that's an under-talked about thing. If this was in the middle or beginning of a CBA between players in the union, or between players in the league, I think this would be a whole different type of situation. I think the rhetoric would be different. But with that looming, players don't want to give in.
So if you're a betting man, Jesse Rogers, are you covering baseball, whether it's sitting on your couch like the rest of us? Are you taking the year and just evaluating what's going on? There's no baseball.
No, I think there's baseball. And I think that we've buried the lead yesterday. The lead is owners do not propose revenue sharing. That's the lead. This is why they sent that trial balloon out there last week, going to feel it out and then look like. And no one gave them any credit for coming off of it. Not that they deserve a ton of credit, but let's at least say they didn't. They've shelved that and moved on to this. Now the players are going to try to move them off of this and onto something else. This is actually good news. This is a starting point, and this starting point is much better than the starting point of revenue sharing.
Yeah, Jesse, I thought this was actually progress.
Yes, I agree. I think this is progress. It was somewhat diabolical in that, you know, you're trying to divide some of the players and make the higher paid players look bad because they take the big cut while the lower paid players don't. I mean, there's all these little tactics going on, but at the end of the day, it is something to work off of for sure. Players might increase the games. Owners might say, okay, we'll defer 25%. This is the negotiation. It's actually started. But look, all we have is one side, the proposal. Next news is going to be the counter proposal, and that might look, you know, bad for the owners. And we'll go back and forth on this. So yes, I think we'll be covering baseball. Whether I'm allowed at Wrigley Field or not is still up for debate. The media is last on the list, Cap. I can tell you that much.
By the way, I will tell you this: every time, like when Blake Snell speaks or Bryce Harper doubles down on Blake Snell, they look awful. They've obviously gotten the message from hierarchy at the Players Association, shut your damn mouths, let us do our job. But then you have an owner in Oakland worth $2 billion who's going to furlough the low-level employees and not going to pay the minor leaguers their $400 a week stipend that many of them need to exist. These are guys that have never made it to the big leagues. He's worth $2 billion, as Passan wrote last night. Would it cost $1 million to pay those guys for the season? That's walking around money for that guy.
One agent put it to me as, look, this maybe isn't a coincidence. We're hearing about furloughs and all these things that make the owners and these teams look like they're broke right as they're negotiating with the players. Because here's the thing. If you believe there is a season, wouldn't you just hold off on your furloughs until this negotiation's done? Because if there's a season, you don't have to furlough all these people, right? So it feels like a weird timing thing, at least and some people that are a little bit more look at things with a paranoid eye or suspicious eye. They're doing this as they're negotiating a season. You don't need to furlough people or fire people if you're going to play. At least that's what some people think. So yeah, it is weird to see that. Look, the owner's version of Twitch is like Tom Ricketts going on CNBC yesterday. That's the most you're going to get out of an owner going on a financial station and hopefully saying the right thing. Manfred has to watch 30 guys and what they say. The players have to watch out for 1,200. And obviously not all of them as savvy in the business sense as those 30 owners. So they're bound to put their foot in their mouths more than the owners. And once in a while, the owners do. But they don't have the opportunity or the means to do it like a player does through social media and things like that.
Jess, have a great day.
Okay, take care, Cap. See you. Be well.
There's Jesse Rogers all over this story. 312-332-3776. Do the players need to give in and make this happen? Are the owners asking too much? 312-332-3776. Your thoughts on this proposal? Straight ahead.
It's Cap and Co. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Just heard from the guy that he and Passan broke that story yesterday on what the proposal is from MLB to the players. Jesse feels like I do that it was progress because they're talking and it didn't have revenue share in it. Now you'll get a proposal back from the players and we'll see if they can get a deal done. I stick to my guns. They're going to play baseball. They can't be that stupid. They just can't. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Paul's in Schererville. He's up first. Hey, Paul, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, Cap. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Hey, question for you. And Chris said it a little while ago, and I know that Notre Dame's opening. I know Indiana's going to open. I think Purdue's opening, all the Big Tens. Why do they have to fill the entire stadium? Why can't they just sell 10,000 tickets and spread them out? And not have the vendors walking around and just have people go down and get the concessions. I don't get it.
Well, until the mayor or the governor, until they say we're going to allow gatherings of that size, there's nothing more to discuss about that part of it.
Yeah, I hear you. I just, over here, we're starting to loosen up a little bit, so.
But I still don't think you're going to have, at this point, maybe in August or September for football, maybe. But I just don't see 10,000 people jamming a stadium. Like, I'll be honest with you. If you said to me, hey, man, here's really good tickets. Take your kids. I'm not going to a game. I'm just not. I'm not going to shake hands. We were talking about that this morning. I appreciate you, Paul, for calling. Thanks, man.
Okay, take care, guys.
Stay safe and healthy. Look, we were talking this morning. It was me and Chris and Danny and our boss, Mike Thomas, and I said, like, I'm a people person. That's just who I am. I like interacting with people I meet on the street. I just do. Other people are just nose down. They don't want to interact with it. I like to interact with people. And I can't tell you that I'm going to shake anyone's hand again. At least not in the foreseeable future. That's not me being a jerk. I'll engage with you. I'll talk. But I'll be surprised if the handshake comes back in our society. Chris, won't you? Will you be surprised if people are shaking hands again in the next 12 months?
With no vaccine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be surprised by that.
Even with a vaccine, because there could be another strain that comes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't like to do that to begin with. Like, I get it. In business situations, you have to do it to be a polite person. You have to do it in most social settings. But, like, I'm a fist bump guy. Like if you meet someone for the first time and you don't really know them, mm-hmm. I always do the fist bump because I don't like the germ exchange that happens with a handshake. So I'm cool with not doing it ever again. I also like my personal bubble. Mm-hmm. So, like, Cap, you're very you like to get close, mm-hmm. close talker sometimes. And I always step away, but I feel like I did that to begin with. So, like, I feel like
now I won't go 8 feet from anybody.
Debatable. But I think these new ways, these new habits that we all develop, I think some of it may be something that sticks, right? Like, maybe you will be less likely to slam into a crowded red line car after a Cubs game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe you'll find an alternative to get home. Maybe you'll do something else. Maybe going to the ballpark, you will only go straight to your seat. You won't walk around the concourse congregating with other people. You know, who knows what this will look like. And to the caller's point, you know, some of the universities, I think the reason they are saying that fans will be in the stadium is some of those stadiums hold 100,000 people.
Right.
So suggesting that 40,000 people are sitting at the Horseshoe, well, they hold almost 100,000 there. So, like, you're not even half capacity.
Right.
So you will have some distancing going on. I know the Miami Dolphins, their plan is, what, like 12,000?
Mm-hmm.
And what, how many people could probably fit in that stadium? 70? I'm guessing. Maybe a little bit lower. But I don't think Hard Rock Stadium is smaller than Soldier Field, is it? I don't think so. Soldier Field is the smallest NFL stadium, isn't it? Was seating wise, like,
I believe it's
63 or 63, number one or number two
smallest.
Yeah. So, you know, like, if they say 15,000 to 20,000 people are allowed to go to a Bears game this fall, think about the way that will look in the stands. You're not going to have packed sections, right? Like, you may have in a section of 22 seats. What would that actually look like? Would that be 8 people in that row? Is it 5? You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know.
Are you comfortable, you or Danny, getting on a plane tomorrow?
I probably would not unless I had to. Like, we had trips planned throughout the summer and into the fall, and when this started, we canceled them all. So, like, we have nothing on the docket coming up.
Right.
So, unless I was told I had to be somewhere, I would imagine we're not going to plan anything mm-hmm. for quite some time.
Yeah, we were going somewhere and obviously canceled that and was also going to be in London to cover the Cubs. And the airline won't give us the money back on that. It is what it is. But, like, my wife and I have talked, should we go somewhere and take a trip and do, like, rent a car and then just, you know, socially distance, get an Airbnb, go to the grocery store, cook the food, stay in a house in another town, just something different. Drive, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours, wherever it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I could totally see this summer the Great American Road Trip coming back.
Yeah.
And, like, people saying, you know what, all right, I'll pick a spot right there in the middle of the country. It's only 8 to 9 hours away. Let's jump in the car. Let's just go for it. And when we get
rent a house.
Yeah, like, we're going to be by ourselves in this secluded spot, and we'll just enjoy nature. I could totally see that this summer.
We've talked about it. So would I get on a plane? I don't know. Maybe. Put a mask on, socially distance on the plane the best you can. I don't know. Danny, would you?
Get on a plane? No shot. No thank you. Nope. My buddy just got on a plane for work. It was every other seat, so they sold the aisles. They sold the windows. Nobody sat in the middle. He said the plane was packed. That's not 6 feet apart. I'm sorry. Someone across the aisle from me is too close.
But everyone was masked, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I don't need to take a risk with my life. Listen, if you want to do it, like you've said 1,000 times on the show, you do you.
Right.
For me at this point, I'm not ready to do that. I'm not ready to put my health at risk to take a trip somewhere. I would love to take a vacation with my family this summer, but like Chris said, it might be a great American road trip. You know, get the kids in the car, go for a 3-4 hour ride somewhere, enjoy whatever's close to us, but I'm not rushing to get on an airplane.
No, I've got the idea for you, Danny. 3-4 hours, what if you multiply that by 8? Could you get to Disney?
No shot.
Disney World?
I'm not going to Disney. Are you crazy?
Why? You can watch some NBA hoops?
Listen,
come
Chris,
on, you could get down there. They have it open. They have it socially distanced. You and the kids, what a great time would that be for your family in the car for 24 hours, going straight down to Orlando, Florida? Don't you think that would be a great thing for Danny?
Let me ask you a question. If Airbnb, if you got something popped in your email and it said, hey, there you could rent a house in the Smoky Mountains. I just picked somewhere random.
I love the Smoky Mountains.
And the house has, you know, access in the development to a pool, and you can get it for a really reasonable price. Pack the kids and the dogs in the car and go. Would you do it?
Yeah. Take a road trip, sure. How far are the Smoky Mountains from here?
Like 7 to 9 hours.
Too far.
Somewhere in between.
Too far
like
for me.
We would go that far.
Yeah, but Cap, you guys are in your 50s. I mean, it's easy for you to sit in a car. I got a 6-year-old and 2 4-year-olds. Like,
imagine how many stops they would have to make.
Yeah, are you kidding me? 4 hours max.
They would have 6 stops before they got to Indianapolis.
Yeah, there's no shot I'm going on a 12-hour ride.
And I'm trying to sell them on Orlando.
A little bourbon before they leave. 312, they just kind of zone out. You wake up, hey, we're here.
Yeah, why don't you guys go to, like, Montana? Yeah.
I would love to go to Montana. I'm not taking a road trip there. No shot.
Pack the kids and the dog.
All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. 312-332-3776. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
This hour brought to you by CBDMD. Hey, Chris, discover the secret to everyday wellness, CBDMD. Superior CBD, superior you. Get 20% off when you enter the code WADDLE. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So we were having a discussion before the break, and it got me to thinking, and then someone sent me a message on it. Do you guys feel like cash is going to be something our people are less willing to use? Because cash is dirtier than people's hands. Like, there are restaurants now. I was walking by a place on Wacker probably 6 months ago. And I'm like, I'm going to get a cup of coffee. I've never been in that place. It's called, like, the Goddess and the Baker or something.
Grocer.
No, this is the... This is on, like... It's on Wacker and maybe Dearborn.
Okay.
And it says on the door, I didn't have my wallet with me. I had my phone. We do not accept cash. Like, what? So I couldn't buy a cup of coffee. I had $20 in my pocket. We do not accept cash. And now cash is so dirty and it changes hands. Do you think we're going to see the death of the American dollar? And everything's going to be Apple Pay and... Whatever they do on an Android.
What year are you from?
What?
The American dollar's dead.
Who's carrying
the young
around cash?
People.
I do.
I
How old are you? That's what I'm asking. What year are you from?
Cap, I owed Abdallah some money for something. He picked something up for me, and I owed Abdallah some money. I asked him if he had change. And he looked at me literally like I was asking him if he had a spaceship. Insane. He's like, change? Well, you think I carry change?
Well, hold on a second.
The millennial, with being able to pay on your phones and credit cards, the American dollar is dead to people older than younger than me.
Has nothing to do with COVID-19.
Correct.
Has everything to do with technology. And what planet are you from that you're not using it?
Well, hold on a second.
Cash, what are you talking about? What is this, 1972?
Okay, you're sitting in the seats at Guaranteed Rate or Wrigley.
Yeah, and I walk
the vendor
to the concessions.
And you don't feel like getting up. You go, give me two beers.
Cap, if I'm going to a game, I go out of my way to grab cash to do that. But most likely, what I do when I go to games, I go to the concessions and I use my card. Not very difficult.
Right.
I've got legs.
But then you got to miss part of the game. You got to wait in line.
Oh, yeah. I'm missing so much. What? Two foul balls? Yeah. I'm okay. Thank you.
You're ridiculous.
No, I'm not. What are you talking about? Is cash going to die?
What about an NBA?
Because of the pandemic?
Hold on a second.
What about all of the technology in the world that makes it so easy to not have to carry around cash?
What about an NBA game that's got filled with action and you got to go wait in a line at the concession stand?
The people at the United Center have card readers on them. The concession people who walk around.
Okay.
You've been to the United Center. That place has technology all over the place.
They do. No question.
What is this? Because of the pandemic.
You're unbelievable.
How am I unbelievable?
People carry cash
in their pocket. I'm the voice of reason here.
You don't think people carry cash?
I'm sure some people do. I'm not going to say nobody does. I would say most people probably carry less cash now than they did back 20, 30 years ago.
Make it a poll. Do you carry cash? Yes or no?
It's a great
poll. Make it a poll.
Hold on. He's got 100,000 olds on his feed, so he's going to sway this.
Well, he sways every poll we do.
You know how this is going to
work? He sways every poll we do.
I let you guys
He gets
guys
the boomers
write
on the social media, and they start
this is what happens.
Hurling with stuff at us. And
with your Twitter, people vote the way they think you would vote.
Yeah, they just want to please you.
The Cap Hive. Cap likes cash. I should vote yes.
We saw The Last Dance. All the people that were always around Jordan all just nodding their heads. Yeah, Mike. Yeah, you're so great. That's what your Twitter followers do.
Okay,
you tweet something and they're like, Cap,
hold on.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my question. Do you carry cash? Yes, no. Okay. Is that approved by you guys? The committee of no in there? Is that an appropriate
question? How is it a committee of no? We're just trying to make it fair and balanced.
Because if I say something, you haters immediately are all over me.
Voice of reason.
Do you carry? Is that how you want it phrased? Do you carry cash? Yes, no.
Yes, that's
sure,
great.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't slanted it. I haven't said, while I do, do you? None of that. Do you carry cash? Yes, no.
Perfect.
Here we go.
Love it.
Okay. Remember you said that.
Okay. Love it.
Tweets out. There you go. 312.
But like, here's the point. What? You're going to get 57% say yes, and then you're going to say, hey, take that. See, everyone carries cash. Not the case. It just isn't. I was on the, in front of the Starbucks I go to every day. Uh-huh. There's a guy who sells Streetwise.
Mm-hmm.
He has it set up so you don't have to interact with change or cash. You can just Venmo him your donation. That's all you have to do. He's got the setup. Keith, he's awesome. You don't even have to, like the technology has gotten to that point. And you're asking if cash is dead because of the pandemic. Come on now. Unbelievable.
My friend Sylvie does the smartest thing. He carries cash, but he only carries a huge bill, like 100. So wherever you go somewhere that you need cash, he's like, I only got 100.
Okay.
Cap, did you even listen to that story at all?
Yeah, I did.
Because you were looking at your internet, couldn't wait to change the subject to whatever was incepting you. Let's pull back the curtain. Chris and I know when you're listening to us or when you just can't wait for us to stop talking so you can move on to whatever's incepted you next.
Yeah. Nothing's incepted me. Nothing.
Well, that was an amusing story about my friend Sylvie, but you just wanted to move past it to what was ever on your screen.
No, I was looking
Millennial.
Up. I had to go to break, actually.
No, you have 42 seconds.
40 seconds.
So, I mean, we have the same clock
have. We can see it.
With Jesse, that clock didn't matter to you. You went 12 minutes over. But now, with a funny story, you asked a question at zero. You know Jesse talks long. When the clock's at zero, you ask
a
question. That's on you.
Jesse is a long
25.
Absolutely.
That's on you.
20. Are you just going to watch the clock?
3-3.
I'll let you know when it hits 0.
3776. Lauri Markkanen with some very interesting comments. Very interesting. And Joe Colley joins us at 11. That is next.
4-3-2-1.